I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the hour, we're going to talk to playwright Nancy Bell about her adaptation of Shakespeare's As You Like It. Her play, Good in Everything, was inspired in part by the St. Louis Voluntary School Desegregation Program and is part of Shakespeare Festival St. Louis's third annual Shakespeare in the Streets. And in our soundbite segment, we examine the St. Louis wine-drinking scene and uncork some common myths about the beverage. The St. Louis Symphony opens its 135th season this evening. This is music director David Robertson's 10th season and the 5th season that St. Louis Public Radio has broadcast the symphony's Saturday night subscription series. There are some other milestones as well, and here with a look back and a look ahead, David Robertson. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. It's great to be here.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
You're fairly recently back from Australia.
That's right. Came back from Sydney just last week.
What were you doing there?
Well, sorry, I'm also chief conductor and artistic director of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra. And yes, we play in that concert hall,
the famous one. Yeah.
So everyone knows where that is.
How long were you down there?
I was down there now for 3 weeks, and I go down a number of times during the year. We had a China tour in the beginning of the summer. It's really a wonderful experience to be able to be down there and to work with such amazing musicians.
Is it all work and no play?
It has been this time. My wife and I have been going down with our children for over 11 years now. But whenever I went down as a guest conductor, there was some work, but there was always lots of free time around to do things. And since I've gone down, you know, as somebody in charge, all of a sudden there are all these things I have to do that are like work. So there has been less play, but I think we're going to put that into the schedule.
Well, this is your 10th year with the St. Louis Symphony, so congratulations on that. And it seems like it might be a good time, a good milestone for some reflecting. Have you done that?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's fascinating, isn't it? You don't see time move in that way. And this is why milestones are always so surprising, where you think, really? 10 years already? Mm-hmm. Didn't I just get here? Which I think means a couple of things. It means that both you're really living in the moment, which is very important, but it also means that there is so much to discover and so much freshness in the way the approach. The rehearsals with the orchestra are always such an extraordinary journey already, the things that you can discover and the amazing inspiration that they give to you. The really wonderful thing is that, you know, anything that you have that is meaningful is built up over time. Conversations, institutions, the whole maturity of an individual comes with time, and there's no way to really rush it. And so there are things that happen on the stage at Powell with the audience and with the music that is just amazing. And it's hard to believe that this is the 10th season of that.
But there are lots of milestones. This year, David Halen, Amy Kaiser, for example.
That's right. They're 20 years both in their positions. David Halen's been the concertmaster. This is his 20th season. And Amy Kaiser, as director of the chorus, has been doing amazing work also. And this is her 20th season.
And other people celebrating, or other it'd be groups in this case, like the In Unison Chorus and the St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra.
That's right. The St. Louis Symphony Youth Orchestra is 45, which is just amazing to think. And then the In Unison Chorus, which has been such a part of our lives. You know, I'm only here 10 years. They're older than that, and I can't imagine what the symphony's family would be like without them. And, you know, then you have other musicians who came in at the same time I did. So Danny Lee, principal cello, or Scott Andrews, principal clarinet, they're also celebrating 10 years. And then, you know, 5 years, the broadcasts here at KWMU, St. Louis Public Radio, and the same thing with KETC. So it's this fantastic sort of celebration of all of this incredible talent.
Did you say the Youth Symphony was 45?
Yeah. But we still allow them to come into the youth orchestra rehearsals.
Okay, so the youth orchestra is old.
Yeah, don't have any members who are, you know, original members. Although we have members in the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra who are previous members of the youth orchestra.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it is a fantastic thing to see how that continues. And of course, one of the things about music is that it's not just this insular thing, which is only done for people who play instruments, but it goes out into the community. And so you have all of these various alumni of the youth orchestra who are now spread out across the nation and in various different fields and taking that really special St. Louis feeling with them.
We're talking to David Robertson, the music director for the St. Louis Symphony. And David, you decided in your 10th year, I guess as a way to celebrate, that you would put the spotlight on something like 50 of your own musicians?
Well, you know, one of the things, I love celebrations with parties. And the more people you have at a party, the more fun and diverse it actually becomes. But one of the other things is that when people say, well, when you look back over your years here, what do you think of? And my main wonderful memories are of individual musicians doing something incredible, whether it's Beth Chu playing the viola solo in Peter Grimes at Carnegie Hall, or whether it's Karen Blisnick incorporating jazz trumpet and a Gershwin piano concerto, or it's David Halen playing the Brahms violin concerto on his 50th birthday. All of these sorts of things, they all come together and they make this sense where I thought, okay, yes, it's true, it's my 10th season, but what better way to celebrate it than with these incredible people who make all of this music? So we have managed to get 50 individual members of the orchestra in positions on subscription concerts where they're playing solo repertoire, either solo or in groups. And this is a wonderful way for the St. Louis community to really celebrate just how much incredible talent and ability is right in their own hometown orchestra.
So the spotlight will be on these 50 individual musicians just through the season.
Yep, all the way through the season. The opening concert this weekend is a classic example of
that. Let's talk about that. That's tonight. You'll be conducting tonight and tomorrow night at Powell Hall. So what's in store?
Well, we start with Yefim Bronfman, the incredible, I think probably one of the world's greatest pianists at the moment, playing the Brahms First Piano Concerto. And that is then followed in the second half by Aaron Schreiber from the first violin section coming forward and playing Vaughan Williams' absolutely stunningly transcendent piece for violin and orchestra called The Lark Ascending. And this is partly because we're also in 2014 celebrating a less happy anniversary, that of 100 years of the First World War. And this is a piece that's connected up with that. And we finish on the program then with Nielsen's Fourth Symphony, The Inextinguishable, which was written in response to the carnage that was going on in the First World War. And his sort of motive in calling it The Inextinguishable was that despite all of these things that seem to assail us from destruction, there is something in the human spirit which is inextinguishable. And the whole way, almost in Beethovenian rhetoric, that the Danish composer Nielsen really struggles with this question of simple versus complex and problems that are solved and really struggled through to reach conclusion, is a tremendously uplifting work.
There's a very interesting video component to this.
Well, that's the thing. One of the aspects that we've thought of is when people come into the concert hall, they come in and it's entirely an oral experience. And yet you can't pretend that people, you know, don't bring their eyes with them. So for this particular program, we have, and we'll have a number of these spread out throughout the season, the video artist S. Katie Tucker, with whom I've worked before, is coming in and she actually is going to light Powell Hall with a kind of video installation in between the pieces of music in such a way that we'll really be brought into a completely different visual atmosphere before we're brought into the musical atmosphere. And I'm really looking forward to doing this. She's somebody who is so incredibly talented at being able to understand how the eye and the ear can actually come together in a way where neither one is feeling secondary to the other.
The St. Louis Symphony is one of the orchestras that's regularly invited to appear at Carnegie Hall, perform at Carnegie Hall. And last year, the symphony's performance of Peter Grimes was named one of the top classical concerts by the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go back this season. So
that's right. It's always a wonderful thing for the orchestra to go to Carnegie Hall. It's a little bit like the Cards going to the World Series. And we have been to Carnegie Hall pretty much every year. So it's a nice thing to see that that's an invitation that comes in. And, of course, the great thing is that the people of New York City are extremely spoiled in that they get to hear the world's greatest orchestras who come through every year. And so for the St. Louis Symphony to be there and to get the kind of reception that our musicians get every time they come to New York, where it's really an incredible rave, whether we finish with a big loud ending or whether we finish with a soft ending, this is the sort of thing that is a good way of measuring the fact that this orchestra really is one of the world's top groups.
We're talking about the new season of the St. Louis Symphony, which begins this evening. Next month, this is a regular event, the Red Velvet Ball.
Yes, we've been doing the Red Velvet Balls now for a number of years, and I'm particularly excited to bring the Chinese pianist Lang Lang here. Many people will know him from the white jacket that he used when he played the Olympics.
Has he not been here before? I thought he had.
I think he's been here, but very, very early in his career. And so to be able to have him, especially to play Tchaikovsky's first piano concerto, which is one of his real party pieces, is a tremendous sort of experience. And again, in keeping with the same thing, the people who come and will hear Lang Lang will also get to hear our own incredible Mark Sparks playing the J.S. Bach Suite No. 2, which is really kind of a flute concerto, but they didn't call them that at that time. So the flute has a major role to play, and that will be absolutely gorgeous.
You also do a series that you call Live at Pell Hall, and this year again, and I'm a big Circus Flora fan, so I was really excited when you started this recently. Is it the third year? I'm not sure.
Third year, yeah.
Yeah, but you're doing a collaboration again with Circus Flora.
Yeah, we absolutely love that. I mean, it is one of those things that when you have somebody up on the high wire and doing all sorts of incredible acrobatics, it's a large version of what a violinist would do. So when you come in the season and hear four violinists from the orchestra play Vivaldi's Four Seasons, for example, you will see them doing the kinds of incredible acrobatics just on the fingerboard with their left hand. No frets, ma, look. That sort of thing is similar to what the people do at Circus Flora. And so what always happens is after one of these programs, the people of the circus always come up to us and say, you guys are amazing. And our musicians always go up to them and say, you guys are amazing. And it's the real mutual admiration society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. And I think this is part of the Live at Pell Hall series, too, where you sort of give a tip to the hat to the fact that Pell Hall was once a movie house.
You know, it's a fabulous place to actually hear movies with real sound. That's the way that movies were made. And in 1925, when the St. Louis Theater, nowadays Powell Hall, was actually conceived, it was conceived as a place where you would have music. I think this is one of the reasons that the acoustic is so spectacular. So we've kind of brought it back to that original form. We have next week the Pirates of the Caribbean, which is the second installment in the film. And if you have never heard one of those kinds of films with the real full orchestral sound in Powell Hall, you absolutely have to go because it is unlike anything. It is so incredibly stirring. The film itself is great. We're going to be doing The Gladiator later on, The Godfather, with music that was actually not in the original film. So there's all sorts of opportunities to relive Powell Hall's past as one of the great movie houses of the country.
Leonard Slatkin is going to be among the returning guest conductors this season.
He is, and in fact, that's one of the wonderful pairings we have. Leonard Slatkin had the great wisdom to appoint David Halen as concertmaster of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra, and so for David's solo appearance with the orchestra, he's going to play Max Bruch's famous violin concerto with the unbelievably gorgeous slow movement, and I had to give that one to Leonard. It's really tough. When you're music director, you have to share your toys with the other guest conductors who come in, and thank goodness I'm a middle child, so I have some experience of doing that.
There are quite a few guest conductors. Any that you might like to mention in addition?
One that I really love, and I'm so glad I've finally been able to get him here. You know, as conductors, we sometimes have our schedules booked up 3 and 4 years in advance. And Markus Stenz is a friend of mine. I've known of his work for, probably 20 years. He's recently been in Cologne. He was in Melbourne before. He was in London. He's an unbelievably inspiring musician. And to have him do his core repertoire, which in this case is the Brahms Four Serious Songs and the Brahms German Requiem with our chorus, that's going to be an absolutely unforgettable experience.
And you have a dozen or more, I guess, returning guest artists, including people like Christine Brewer.
Yeah, we've got Christine Brewer, we've got Emmanuel Axe, we've got all of these sort of friends of the orchestra. And what was interesting when we were talking about having all of these instrumental soloists, somebody said, well, wouldn't the soloist be upset if there's another soloist on their same program? You know, doesn't that steal a little bit of their thunder? And I said, you know, I think most of the people that we invite to St. Louis are such nice people and have such a good relationship with the orchestra that they won't mind. And in fact, we found out that the reaction of the vast majority of them was just sheer delight that there was going to be somebody else on their same program.
And looking ahead, the season concludes in May 2015.
That's right. And because we have such a good relationship with Opera Theatre St. Louis, I thought a best way to sort of end our season and to kick off theirs would be to have a grand opera. And so we are actually performing Aida of Verdi in the concert hall. And this will also have video projections by S. Katie Tucker. So the entire place will be transformed into one of the pyramids of Giza. Well, maybe not. I'm not sure. It's a little bit cramped inside the pyramids. So we'll keep Powell Hall with its beautiful, spacious acoustic, but we'll have all sorts of atmosphere that is provided for that incredible piece of music.
No doubt. Well, congratulations on 10 years here with the St. Louis Symphony. Any projections, predictions, dreams, ideas, anything?
You know, it's one of those things that the more we can really let St. Louis know that this orchestra is here for everybody and that there's always something in our program that everybody can really feel they can connect to, I think that's one of the main things. And the other is it was so heartening to go to Europe with the orchestra a couple of years ago and to be in a restaurant afterwards with some of the people from St. Louis. And this was in Berlin. It was late at night. And we'd gone to a restaurant that was far away from the concert hall. And we were in a celebratory mood. And some of the people at the table thought, oh, we're disturbing that group at that table because they keep looking at us. And then finally they came over with their programs and they said, you know, we're from Trondheim, Norway. And we came down especially because we saw the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra was playing in Berlin. And we've always wanted to hear them live. So thank you so much. And this is one of these things when you realize that, you know, you are really part of a very, very large community which is on this planet and sharing the best that humanity has to offer, which is something that you look forward to doing every single day.
That has to mean a lot personally to you.
It does. I mean, the thing that is so, for me personally, the huge responsibility that you're given when you're asked to be music director and artistically responsible for a group like the St. Louis Symphony. I'm the 12th music director, so I'm one of a series of people who are really working to maintain this orchestra at the very best, something that St. Louis always has and I hope always will be not only proud of, but when they look at what makes up St. Louis, they will realize that you can't define St. Louis without the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra.
Again, the new season for the St. Louis Symphony opens tonight at Pell Hall. David Robertson conducts tonight and tomorrow. And don't forget that you can hear the Saturday night subscription series here on St. Louis Public Radio. David Robertson, always good to see you and have a great season, and I'm sure you will.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Next on Cityscape, Soundbites. This is St. Louis Public Radio.